This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Like heavily medicated right now, but yeah, I'm like totally just like, I don't feel terrible, I just like my head is insanely full of things and throat is like so sore.
I mean, your head being insanely full of things is usually good for a podcast.
No,
perhaps
like,
not in this way.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's just a cold. It just really hit me like late afternoon yesterday.
Wow. How are you? So I'm curious, how are you? What do you do? Like when you have interviews scheduled and I mean, it's not like, you know, when other people have a cold, they can maybe hide behind the fact that they're not producing audio content where it's clearly obvious they have a cold. How do you handle that?
Neti pot, as I've said before, which I did three times since yesterday afternoon. I use pseudoephedrine, which is like, it's like the sinus clearing part of most cold medication.
Yeah.
So here you can get it just over the counter. And it's but it's got no Tylenol or anything else in it. It's just literally the part that clears out your head. I use these cough candies that are just pure honey cough candies.
Oh yeah.
And they help my throat so much, like so that I don't sound like hell. But today they're not really working. Like, I mean, all these things can only do so much. When it gets really bad, it's just kind of like, ugh. But typically it's only like this for, say, like a day or so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the other days you just got to kind of power through it. But right now it's really bad.
Well, you're doing a hell of a job powering through it. And I speak on behalf of all Showrunner listeners when I say thank you.
Nice.
I've been recording this. I figured we could use it as the intro.
Oh, wow.
Prepare folks for what they're about to hear. How does that sound?
Sure. Well, it probably sounds terrible, but
bad question. Yeah, good idea. Not a good sounding idea.
How was your conference, man?
Conference was good. Was real good. Yeah. The Ascend conference in Philadelphia, put on by Aweber. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Lots of good presentations, just great energy in the room. You know, got to meet and hang out with a lot of cool people like Chris Ducker and Tim Page and Andrea Vall and Jason Falls and Noah Kagan and just a lot of interesting people doing interesting things.
Yeah. I've never met Jason Falls.
Jason Falls is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from my part of the country. He's from Louisville, Kentucky, which is not far from Indiana. Yeah. So
likes his bourbon.
He does like his bourbon. He does.
He had that podcast and I was his first guest. And that's the only way I know him. And then he followed me on Twitter and he joined my newsletter like 6 months ago and reads every single one of them. It's weird.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. But I don't know him otherwise. Like I know that I can email him and talk to him, but I've never met him and I don't know that much about him.
Well, and he should read all of them. I enjoyed your recent one that was about it was like the 24-hour reset. Like no matter if something good happens or something bad happens, you've got 24 hours to either celebrate it or get over it and move on. And I was a big fan of that.
Nice. Thanks, man. Yeah. We all know about shouldn't take failure so hard, but it's the wins that we really like rest on our laurels, man.
Yeah.
It's like, it's been a good week. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
A repurpose because Sonia Thompson is doing like a expert roundup and wanted like the one thing that mindset shift I made to like be successful in my way. And I had to think about it really hard. And then I was like, I think it's this. And then it turned out that I wrote her a short portion of it and then made the other portion for my list. I'm either lazy or a good repurposer. I'm not sure.
Hey, by the way, if people want to get on your list, how do they do it? Hacktheentrepreneur.com?
Yeah, totally.
Sweet.
That's the one.
That's what I thought. maybe.
Oh, you're recording.
This is the episode, man. Let's just go with it.
Okay.
Let's roll with it. I guess I should introduce the show. We'll do it a little backwards this time. Welcome to the showrunner. This is episode number 31. I'm your host, Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker FM at Rainmaker Digital, joined by Johnny Naster, defender of humanity, host of Hack the Entrepreneur, currently suffering from a bit of a cold, but powering through it because dadgummit, there is podcasting information to deliver, and we want to deliver it. So we're here, and we're doing
it. Yes, we are here.
Hey, so before we jump into this main topic real quick, on the last episode, episode 30, we talked about that hashtag challenge because I talked about how I've used hashtags and used them pretty successfully on certain projects to grow my Twitter account. You felt differently about hashtags, but you were going to challenge your own beliefs and report back. Do you have anything to report on that hashtag challenge, or do we need to wait another week for it?
All I have to report is that so far, no evidence has been shown to me to make me change my stance on it. But what I think from the research I've done is that because of the market I'm in, my hashtags are used exclusively by terrible marketers.
Mm.
Meaning marketing, hashtag entrepreneurship, hashtag small business. There's no actual people, it seems, asking a question, looking for an answer. If they are asking a question, it's got a link to some terrible blog post that they think answers that question. You know what I mean? It's kind of, and so I could see if I was in like basketball or something that actually followed, or if it was like looking for a band or something. I mean, when one of my new bands favorite bands comes out with an album, they usually hashtag it. And then, I mean, I could join awesome conversations. Like if I was going to see favorite band in Minneapolis, I could like meet up with other people based around that hashtag. That's amazing. But the market that I'm in to grow my podcast, I can't seem to find of course there's going to be something in there, but I can only spend so much time because I've done it in the past. And I did literally do it like for 3 days, and I get so frustrated going through them.
Yeah.
Because I just get mad at these people like, this isn't marketing, guys. Like, you're not actually marketing. You're just putting hashtags to nonsense that nobody's looking at besides other people like you and now me trying to find real people in here. So I think it's really goes with my market, unfortunately.
Makes sense. And I think that's an important point that you bring up, because what we talked about on last week's episode with how to use Twitter and what we're going to talk about in this episode about other ways to use other social media channels is, you know, there's nothing we can tell you that's an absolute. It's all about testing it and trying it and seeing how it works, A, for you, B, for your audience, and B, for your market as a whole. And so these are just ideas. And, you know, on that very idea, I've had a lot of success with it. You haven't. And there are very valid reasons why that is true. So I think that's a good point to kick this episode off with. And with that said, let's hop into the main topic, because we got to bang this episode out, John, before you need to go neti pot again.
Nice. Let's do it.
All right. Main topic time. Okay, so for those of you who listened to episode number 30, you know that this two-part episode series spawned from a listener question from Jeff Leo Herman asking us about Twitter and how we use Twitter. And so we covered that in episode 30, but we had a lot of other stuff to say about social media. And so we saved that for this episode, turned it into a two-part series, and here we are for part number two. And really, I want to share a few stories of some social media action strategies that have worked for me. John, I know you have some that you want to share. And we'd love to hear yours too. If you go to the lesson page, go to showrunner.fm, you'll see the lesson page. Feel free to comment. In fact, feel encouraged to comment with any social media tactics or strategies that have worked well for you, because it's good to share these things, get new ideas, see if what's one person applied to their market can be applied to yours. And it's just a good way to find ways to think outside the box and find new ideas. So let me kick it off with this, Johnny, which is, so you know how I do these Primality Primer videos each morning, and you know, I do them as a Google Hangout. So obviously they go on YouTube, and then I post the audio as a podcast and also post the video on my site. Well, I started every now and then, if I think there's, I don't know if good is the right word, but one maybe where there's like just a particular point that I think would work well with my more personal audience on Facebook, I will upload that video directly to Facebook. Part of the reason why I wanted to do this is I was hearing a lot of good things about Facebook video, how many views videos get on Facebook. And I've been really encouraged by the response that these videos have gotten when I've posted them to Facebook. They always get, you know, lots of views, sometimes in the hundreds. They always get comments because people actually watch them because they're right there on Facebook. And the comments are positive. And in fact, two videos ago when I posted one, it actually got me a speaking gig because someone watched the video. There was a comment that just said, call me with the number on it. I called and was offered a speaking gig, which actually I'm going to do next week at the Rocks Digital Conference here in Dallas. Now, I have no idea if she would have offered that to me without seeing the video, but all I know is that posting the video spurred her immediately to ask me to call her, offered me the speaking gig, and bada bing, bada boom. It was obviously very successful, very helpful. And so I think if you do anything with video, and I know a lot of the people who listen to us, you know, they have elements of their show. Maybe they record it as a video as well, or they're thinking about getting into video. Don't underestimate the power of Facebook video. You know, I wouldn't overpopulate your feed with videos, but be strategic about what you put up there, and you can be sure that it will get views. And so if it's worth watching, then a lot of times it will get a good response too. So that's my first story, my first successful Facebook marketing tactic that I've used.
And that's awesome.
Been good.
Yeah, that's really, really cool that you got a speaking gig out of it.
Yeah.
And I saw this morning that you posted this morning's on there. And I, for the right market, like depending obviously on how people treat their Facebook friends.
Yeah.
Some people, they literally have just kept them close and they're only high school people and people they've worked with rather than open them up to just other people who could actually be potentially fans of your work, which I've done. I've opened it up so that could work too. But you're right. Like with Facebook video, it's really interesting because I'll find myself watching videos because it's way easier. I mean, not that clicking on a link that you see from somebody that like somebody that I like you says, oh, here's my new video. Seeing that link and seeing just a video there that I could literally just watch. It's weird that that's actually a barrier now for us.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
But I'm so much more likely to watch your video if it's right there in my feed.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is click. I just have to touch my screen of my phone and it'll go right there. So you have to figure out what it is that's going to work, obviously, for you. But so this should have probably been said last episode. But this is something I've been thinking about this week as we wrap up this whole social media thing, is that you have to have a strategy to grow your show rather than tactics. All we're talking about right now is tactics, and the tactics are going to change. I mean, we'll talk about Periscope, Blab, all the different ones that are going to come and go, but the strategy has to be the same. And the strategy, I don't think it's just me. I think you really do just have to be a human being and try and build relationships. That's why it's called social media. You're supposed to be social and not just blasting out, right? You really need to be engaging people. And no matter where you choose to do that, which platforms and how the platforms change over the next 1 month, 6 months, a year, which they're going to endlessly do, it's you have to just have that strategy that's yours and that you feel comfortable with and that you know you will reach your audience with, and then choose tactics that will work with that strategy, but don't sort of put all your eggs into one basket and don't think that this is the end all be all tactic that will make my show the number one show in my category, because there isn't one. Mm-hmm. And it's really, it could literally, your social media tactic could be trying to get people to email you. I think that's literally, that can be social. I mean, that's the most direct way somebody can ask you questions and you can build a relationship by helping that person or pushing them in the right direction or sending them to the right place where they can get the right direction. These are things you need to do, and they're not always scalable, and there's no easy just tactic that can be done. And so I should have said this at the beginning of last episode, but before we hit it too far into the tactics, I just really, although we're almost at the end of it now, So it's probably kind of late, but maybe it's the medicine I'm on.
No, no, it's cool. No, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, because I think it's that whole strategy over tactics, right? And it's really, really important. And your strategy can change and evolve as you do, as your show does. But it still needs to, there has to be some sort of like North Star that you're always pointing to. That's what you want. That's what you want your audience as you find them, sort of the transformation to go through. And this is what you want to help them do. And you have to follow that sort of North Star and always know you're heading that direction. And then there's going to be tactics all along to kind of get you there. But always think about, okay, so this tactic that Jared just talked about might be awesome for him, but does it get me closer to that sort of North Star and where my audience and where I need to be with my audience? It's yeah. super, super important. And until you do that, you've kind of fall into the whole shiny object syndrome, right? Where it's like, now I'm going to go all in on Periscope. And then Periscope like dies as you're learning all the tactics. And you've just kind of, and not that that's going to happen. And we don't know. That's the thing. None of us can see the future. Although today, Now I'm in a rant. I'm in a medical.
Here we go. Yeah.
It's because today, speaking of the future, do you know what today is?
Oh, yeah. Today is the day Marty McFly goes into the future. Of course. So clearly we're recording this on October 21st.
October 21st. Right. And obviously 20 years ago or 30 years ago when it was made, they couldn't tell the future because it looks quite different than theirs. But so we don't know what's going to happen. So you have to make sure to start before all of this is finding that strategy and finding that sort of North Star, that place where you're always trying to head towards with your audience. Cause I think that's most important, but I'll end there.
No, hey, that was a great rant. By the way, I love how Pepsi came out with limited edition bottles, like the ones that they have in the future. Remember those from the movie? Like kind of those futuristic looking bottles. They came out with limited edition bottles like that.
That's awesome.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Okay, so let me piggyback on what you just said, because that is excellent and essential advice. And you said something in there, this phrase, go all in. And I do think people struggle sometimes. They see a shiny new object and they do jump all in and think that this is going to be the panacea for everything that they need to make their show grow. And I know this because I have these very same thoughts, because I get very excited, very enthusiastic about something new. You get that rush of initial energy learning these new strategies. And you're so right about you've got to have that North Star, that overarching strategy that helps you know that you're moving forward and not just moving sideways to try something out new. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try things. You know, if Periscope looks interesting, try it. But I recorded a webinar with Chris Ducker about Periscope for the Cutting Edge section of Digital Commerce Institute. And so much great insight that I got from Chris. And he's obviously been very successful with Periscope. But as he said, he's like, look, not everyone is cut out for video. You know, that is just, not everyone can be natural on video. Not everyone's going to be good at confidently stating a call to action on video. Not everyone is going to be good at explaining a topic on video and interacting with people in a Periscope type situation. And that's totally okay. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try it and see if it works for you or your audience, but really gauge the feedback, engage how you're feeling. And if it doesn't feel right for you, and if you're not getting the engagement you want from your audience, and if it's taking you off track from that North Star that you're keeping your mind on, then shut it down. Don't do it. And figure out where you are better. Maybe you're better on Twitter. Maybe you're better in a Facebook group. Maybe your audience is more on LinkedIn, and publishing and syndicating content on LinkedIn will work better. Maybe it's something visual and you can really do something with Instagram. You know, I think what's important is trying out different things. I mean, obviously having a hypothesis, but then trying it out and seeing what actually works. And we talk about that with a show, right? You know, people get this paralysis by analysis and they don't even put an episode out. You don't, you know, all you have is a hypothesis for your content before you put an episode out and let it actually hit an audience. Then you start to get feedback. Then you start to develop a show and refine it and fine tune it. And I think the very same advice goes for social media as well. And so you got to be willing to try things, but then you've also got to be willing to say, okay, this isn't working. Let's move away from this. And let's double down more over here on what is working.
And did you see Michael Hyatt? So Michael Hyatt, right when Chris Ducker started with Periscope, well, everybody did. It all started at the same time. Mm-hmm. Michael Hyatt got all excited about it, did a short, like I think 1 or 2 week experiment, and then decided I'm doing a daily Periscope Monday to Friday forever. I didn't watch any of them.
Until the end of time?
Yeah, I'm really not super interested in it, but it's I was interested in it because I saw on Twitter last week that he was doing a change. That's all the headline sort of said. Hey, change to his Periscope strategy. And I was like, okay, this is interesting because now this is actually a few months. It's easy to get excited and see like hearts popping up. And it's same with Blab, right? You see those things and you can think that there's a ton of maybe engagement, but he went and talked to his actual audience, like people who are actually part of Platform University. And they were all completely overwhelmed with the amount of content he was putting out and it was backfiring on him. Ooh. And he's completely like changed his Periscope strategy. And I don't even think he's doing one a week anymore. And he was just like, and you should have seen the people on Periscope as he was saying it. They were all like, oh my God, I was so overwhelmed with all this. And I tried to keep up because I thought I had to. And I can't believe everybody else felt the same way. And everybody was like, oh my God, it's such a, and wow. I was like, wow, you can really be producing, like right now we're talking about promoting a podcast, a show, right? We're talking about promotion of a main piece of content. And so if you get confused with maybe repurposing too much or creating too much new content other than that, you're already creating a main key piece of content at least once a week, I'm assuming, because otherwise it's crazy. You should be focusing on your show at this point if you're doing less than one show a week and you're worrying about all these other tactics. So you should really, really focus on that. If you have a lot of energy, what I would do personally is I would think about, maybe I should do two shows a week.
Yeah.
Maybe two different formats. Because honestly, the best tactic in all of this, actually the best strategy in all of this in growing your show is doing more of your show better. That's really like, I mean, there was a point where I decided like about 7 weeks into my show that I was going for it. And I went to three shows a week and I've stuck to three shows a week. I've changed which days they go when I join Rainmaker and such, but I still publish 3 days a week, every single week. And that fortunately, that allows me less time to even get worried about other tactics because I'm publishing three awesome shows a week. And that's how my audience grows and finds me and then reaches out to me on whatever social platform they want to. I get messages on Facebook, which I don't even like, but then I'll talk to them. Of course, somebody wants to friend me there and then message me, or somebody emails me, or somebody hits me on Instagram with like a quote that they've made of mine. Like, I don't even have to make my own quotes. People now make quotes. It was funny. I was actually going through my Instagram feed and I was like something. I was like, that's an awesome quote. And then I look at like the description. I'm like, oh, that's me. That's weird. And so
be human, John Master.
No, but I was like, I'm working on the main pieces of content, which are my show. That's what I'm trying to grow. If I have more time and more energy, what am I going to focus on next? What will be the next tactic? But that tactic is specifically made to grow back to my main pieces of content, which is my main show, which I'm trying to grow. I'm not also trying to grow like massive, like a Twitter following or a massive Instagram following. I'm trying to grow a huge, massive podcast. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep focus on that and know that those things. And so I love how Michael Hyatt went for it and went all in, but then listened and was like, wow, actually this is detracting from my main pieces of content, which is Platform University. And those people, the ones that I'm actually trying to attract more of, the people already in there were just like, I can't deal with all this. This is way too much stuff you're doing.
Yep.
And you're just putting out way too much for us. Why don't you just key it back and then actually just do better pieces of individual content rather than like 50 other pieces of content? And it was smart and it was interesting. I liked it. It was.
Well, and it actually illustrates something that Jason Falls talked about at the Ascend conference, where he was talking about if you want to know what your audience wants, you ready for just some crazy, brilliant advice that you would never think of? Ask them. Crazy, right? What a concept. Just ask them and respond to that, as Michael Hyatt did. The other thing, and I'm glad you brought up this point, with when it comes to social media, is like you said, you're not focused on developing a massive Twitter following, right? And Chris Ducker is not focused on building up a huge Periscope following. What he's interested in is getting people to Youpreneur, getting people to listen to Youpreneur FM. Periscope is a way to reach out to people, existing folks and new folks. But the goal is not to build the Periscope following. It's to pull him back into the centerpiece of what he is doing, which is his show. And that, above and beyond any of these individual tactics that we can talk about, is so important, is remembering that your show, your site is your main place. That's where you want to pull people back to. And what you're doing on social media and in all of these other places is a way to distribute and market your ideas and yourself. But you've got to have that strategy for where you're trying to pull people back to. So it's like for me with that, putting those the video of Primility on Facebook, it's great, but I'm not doing that to develop more engagement among my Facebook community. I'm doing that so that hopefully more people that I know become aware of what I'm doing at Primility and subscribe and get on that email list or join that. We have a Facebook group too. Join that Facebook group, right? It's to pull them in closer, but you've got to have that overarching strategy, like you said, for where you want people to go.
And never lose focus of the fact that you're trying to build your subscribers to your show. Not trying to build, like you said with Chris Docker, he's not trying to build a massive following on Periscope. He's just found that he's super good at video.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably actually working better for him than his show right now. So he's going all in for it. Well, because he's amazing on video. He is. He's so animated and personable and likable and just has fun with it.
Well, more and he's so tried it and he kind of went all in with it and did a daily show. And unlike Michael Hyatt's audience, his audience responded really well to it. So he doubled down and kept doing it. You know, and those are two great examples of people who tried the same thing and they have big audiences, got different responses. And that's what you have to do. You know, we can't tell anybody listening to this right now whether this, that, or the other social media tactic will or will not work. You know, there are ideas, you try them, and you gauge the response. Rinse and repeat and move forward. But that's the key. You've really got to be willing to A, try, but B, not hold on to these notions of something has to or can't work. Like, I'll give you an example. When Periscope first came out, not first came out, but a few months ago when it was really starting to gain, you know, kind of renewed vigor, you know, I decided to try it out. And this is one tip that I wanted to give for social media is that it's a great place to repurpose ideas. You know, you don't have to go and come up with something brand new. Like you said, you know, people using your quotes on Instagram, that's a great idea. You know, posting quotes Instagram in a nice, fun, visual way, but then use, you know, your description of it to get them back to the episode or get them back to the site. And so with Periscope, just to kind of try it out and learn how it worked, I did for about a week what I was calling scope tips. And I would listen to an episode on Rainmaker FM, pull a tip out from it, and then do a Periscope episode that just basically rehashed the Rainmaker FM tip or the episode that I had just listened to. And then I'd take questions, interact a little bit, and then I would create a little URL, you know, rainmaker.fm/scope tip 1 or scope tip 2 that would redirect to the episode. Because the goal was, yes, to interact on Periscope, but more, get people to listen to this episode of Rainmaker FM. And it, you know, I could track people who were using the links and it drove a little bit of traffic and I gained a little bit of a following on Periscope. But the interaction, the response wasn't enough to justify the time. And so I stopped doing it. And that's not to say that I won't do it in the future or won't use Periscope again in the future, but the response wasn't so overwhelming that I had to just keep doing it. But I'm glad I tried it because it taught me about the platform. You know, it had a little bit of success there for whoever we got over to those episodes of Rainmaker FM. So again, be willing to try, but don't be stubborn and continue doing something that is not giving you the return on your time that you need.
Right. Because if your strategy was to build a massive Periscope following, then you would have had to stick it out and push through the dips and work your butt off to just keep doing it. It's like becoming a YouTube star. If that's your goal and that's like the strategy you have to implement to do that would be continuing on when there's nobody listening. It's like becoming like a really, really good or a person who can get paid to run a podcast. You have to unfortunately start with no audience and you have to work through and be willing to do an amazing show this week to hopefully gain one more listener and then one more listener next week and one more listener next week. And know that if you keep doing this for 2 years or 3 years, that you will become an amazing showrunner. You will probably get paid to podcast, but you have to continue on. If that's the strategy and that's what you're trying to do is become that person, then you can't just quit these other things. Jared could quit on Periscope because there wasn't enough, because that wasn't what, that was just a tactic to get more people to a show that already existed. And so that's the things, right? There are people who are going to become Periscope superstars, and they're going to probably have massive businesses off of it because they just went all in and focused only on that. And then they use other tactics and other social media to send people to their Periscope. It's what people do on Instagram now. It's what people do on YouTube. It's what people do on Snapchat. It's what people do everywhere now. And you can if you go all in on it. But unfortunately, I think that all of us are trying to go all in on our shows. And so therefore, don't lose focus of that.
Dude, Periscope killed the YouTube star. Didn't you hear?
I don't know. I think I don't know. If we're having this conversation in a year and Periscope's still here, I'm going to be shocked.
Really?
But you, yeah, but YouTube
bold
will
claim.
Be here.
YouTube
well,
will be
it's,
here.
Well, it's Periscope's so, like, what happened to Meerkat? Meerkat was massive for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think Periscope's on a little more solid footing than Meerkat, though.
Possibly. We'll see. It's exactly. I mean, if we looked at the graveyard filled of social media sites that just never, that were supposed to change the world and just never quite did. I'm not saying that live streaming of video in this way is going to disappear, because it's not.
Right.
They've fundamentally changed the way we do that now. But to think that the first one to come out doing it is going to be the one doing it in 5 years or a year, I don't know. It's, you know what I mean? Like, YouTube is going to be there. We know that now. YouTube's been around long enough. Twitter is still going to be here in a year, and Facebook probably. But it's, you know what I mean? These things change quick, and it's so new that, I mean, I don't know. That's my thought. But obviously, there's a real good chance it could be, but there's just as much chance, I think, that it couldn't be.
Yes, but having the balance of that caution is good. I mean, you can be excited about it, but also, again, don't build on rented land. You know, you don't want to put so many eggs in that basket, and then it goes away, and you're stuck with nothing. So make sure that you're building your audience, not building an audience on someone else's platform that, if it goes away, is going to really wreck you. Dude, you know what's crazy? Your voice sounds better. I think, like, getting fired up about podcasting topics clears your sinuses.
It does. I'm just not sitting here at my desk, like, dwelling on how terrible I felt. Now I'm just actually feeling good.
It's awesome, man. All right, let's go to a listener question, or at least a listener question portion of the show. So the listener question portion is sponsored this week again by Digital Commerce Institute. And this episode is going live on October 28th. And that means that we are right in the heart of the initial launch of Digital Commerce Institute, which means that just like back when we launched the Showrunner podcasting course, you can get in on the pilot launch. Go to digitalcommerce.com. Check it out. You can see the description of everything that's there. The big idea with digital commerce is that we want to teach you how to create and sell profitable digital products and services. You know, part of what we're doing here with the Showrunner, we hope, is teaching you how to create a remarkable audience experience. And when you do that, you create a remarkable relationship with an audience that knows you and likes you, maybe even loves you and trusts you. And when they trust you, they're going to be ready to do business with you. But you've got to have something to do business with. And so if you don't have anything right now, a digital product is such a great place to start. Because, you know, a couple of stats. Sales of ebooks exceeded $5 billion in 2014. Online education is a $15 billion a year industry. And whether it's ebooks or courses or coaching or consulting or SaaS products or themes or plugins, there are a lot of things that you can fulfill digitally, and digitalcommerce.com teaches you how to do that with courses, with case studies, with walking you through cutting edge technologies that may or may not be good choices for you. So check it out, digitalcommerce.com. Obviously, the best deal that you'll ever get on it will be this pilot deal. So go to digitalcommerce.com, check it out, and see if it's for you.
I totally just joined the list.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a good pitch. I liked it.
Nice. Thank you, Mr. Nestor.
I think the rest of you should too.
Okay, so this is usually where we ask and answer a listener question, but this whole episode, this two-part series, was based on a listener question, so we're not going to do that. And plus, we're kind of rethinking the structure for the show anyway, because every single time we get to the listener question, we talk about it and we're like, hey, we should just expand this into a new episode. So I think at least for a while, we're going to start basically taking our episode topics from listener questions. And so the whole episodes will just be listener questions. But that means that we want more listener questions from folks like you. Like someone emailed me and asked me about, hey, how do we choose music for our show? And we haven't talked about that. And that can take an entire episode. And it's a process I really enjoy. And so we're going to talk about that on a future episode. It might even be the next episode. We haven't determined that yet, but it might be. So if you have a topic that you want us to address on the Showrunner, reach out and contact us. And really the best way to do it, frankly, is to go to showrunner.fm, get on our email list, and just reply to one of the initial emails that you get, because then we will get your question. You can also tweet us if you want to, at Jared Morris, at John Nassar, at showrunner.fm. But just get your question to us and we can add it to the queue. And that's how we will be deciding what episodes or what topics we're going to do for future episodes. Anything else you want to add about our new listener question philosophy?
I don't think so. I think it's a good direction. I want to go back on another rant of that whole North Star thing, because I don't know where that came from. It was the medicine, I think. But I think that that's sort of what we discovered, is that the best way we can help you, the listener, is to answer your questions in a more thorough, rather than always ending it with, like, this could have been a whole episode. It's like, well, why isn't it a whole episode? It seems like we could only say that so many times before we had to realize that we were just sticking with a format that we thought was the right format at the beginning. But now at episode 31, well, it was 30 we started. So it's, we kind of saw that what we need to do is this, because I think that it will bring us closer to that end goal where we're trying to get and where we're trying to take you.
Yep.
So I think it's the right thing to do.
And if you've been paying attention, you will realize that if we alter the format a little bit, as we're talking about, that's what, the third, fourth, fifth time that we've altered the format in 30 episodes? So it's okay. Again, you go out with a hypothesis, you see how an audience responds and how you respond while you're creating the content, and you adjust and you make it better and you make refinements. So remember that with your shows when you're struggling to figure out the perfect format before you even start. Stop. You can't figure out the perfect format until you get going. And even then, it's always a work in progress. So now here's one more tip, okay? When we're talking about these listener questions, and I want you listening to apply this when you send in your listener questions to us and when you send in questions to anybody, include your show name and how people can get to your show. Because if you've noticed, when people do include that, I usually include it when we talk about the listener question. Like, this is such and such, here is their show. But sometimes people will send questions and they won't let me know. And I'm not typically going to go dig for it, but it's such an easy way. You know, we have a pretty good audience with the Showrunner. And if you have a nice descriptive title for your show, you never know who's going to be listening that may want to go check that show out just from hearing that you had a listener question discussed on the Showrunner. So make sure when you do that, let us know so that we have it very easy. We can add it to our notes and we can mention that when we ask your question. Okay. Speaking of recommending podcasts, let's do a podcast recommendation. This week's podcast recommendation comes to us from the Showrunner podcasting course. It is Jeff Reese, and his show is Wake Up Your Why. And we are back to doing what we love doing with podcast recommendations, which is not us telling you why you should listen to a show, but giving the actual showrunner, him or herself, the opportunity to tell you why you should be listening to the show. And so here is Jeff to explain why you should be listening to Wake Up Your Why.
As ordinary or as normal as you think you are, your story is extraordinary.
Hey, this is Jeff Reeson, host of the Wake Up Your Why podcast, where I talk with ordinary people living extraordinary lives based on their why, which is that purpose, cause, or belief that inspires them to do what they do. It would be an honor to have you join me as I talk with people like Everett Taylor that you heard in the opening clip. Everett was selling gum as a kid, homeless in high school, but became the first person in his family to graduate from college. I ask my guests one question, why do you do what you do? Then we dig into their story and find out what motivates them, what inspires them, and provide a little education along with it. Maybe you'll see yourself in these stories. I do know you'll be motivated to maximize your potential, and you will be inspired. Go to wakeupyourwhy.com to check it out. Listen, I hope you know your why, that purpose, cause, or belief that inspires you to do what you do, and I hope you're living it out.
All righty. Thank you very much for that, Jeff. And Mr. Nasser,
I love the production on that.
Yeah.
The way he did it, he did it really well. I'm really, congratulations, Jeff. That was well done. I mean, if that doesn't make you want to listen to his show, I don't know what will.
You know, Jeff is awesome. I mean, so many of the people inside of the course are great, but Jeff's energy and his commitment to the community and to always being helpful and to always having a positive word and to being really open with his journey and being vulnerable in authentic ways, you know, talk about the ups and the downs. He's been, you know, one of the most valuable community members, the glue in a lot of ways that holds the Showrunner podcasting course community together. And so, you know, that's just a guy that you want to listen to and learn from. And so, again, that great reason to listen to his show. And Jeff, we really appreciate how much you've meant to the Showrunner podcast, to the course itself. You know, it's been invaluable.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, that's it. I think it's time for you to go get some neti pot action, which is a very strange phrase to say out loud.
Sounds exciting, though, now that you mention it like that. Wow.
I think that should be the headline for this episode. John Nasser gets some neti pot action. I don't have any idea what we're going to talk about, but they'll be like, what the hell's going on there?
Well, this has been fun. Thanks for making me feel better.
Hey, anytime, man. Glad to do it. Always enjoy these episodes. To you listening, go to digitalcommerce.com. Check that out because at a minimum, get on the email list. You know, check it out because if you're interested in learning how to create digital products and how to sell them online, then you're definitely going to want to join this pilot program and see what it's all about. So go to digitalcommerce.com. Get on that. And we'll be back next week with another brand new episode of The Showrunner. Johnny, hopefully your sinuses are fully clear by then.
They will. Thanks. Take care.
All right. See everybody.